This is Uprising. I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. We turn now to an issue of pop culture that has captivated the media as well as audiences nationwide. While some people might dismiss the antics of a 20-year-old pop star's television performance as juvenile and irrelevant, others would find a disturbing commentary on the status of women in our society. Miley Cyrus's performance last weekend at the Video Music Awards caused quite a stir as viewers watched her twerking on stage dressed in her underwear. Cyrus subjected an all-black group of backup dancers to slaps on the buttocks as she gyrated around the stage and against a male pop star. Adding to the controversy surrounding her is the release of her new music video this week called Wrecking Ball. The video, which has gotten more than 42 million views so far, has broken all internet viewing records. In it, Cyrus sits atop a giant wrecking ball, completely nude. Critics have been quick to point out the racism inherent in Cyrus's work, particularly in her performance at VMA, and others have railed against the porn-like images which run throughout her videos and performances. The most disturbing fact about her pop cultural standing is that her enormous fan base stems mainly from very young girls who started following her when she played Hannah Montana on the Disney Channel. Joining me to talk about the influence of Miley Cyrus on our culture and give us a critical analysis of her is Akiba Solomon, the managing editor of Color Lines magazine. Welcome to Uprising, Akiba.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Miley Cyrus isn't the first female pop star to use sex and very highly sexualized images to gain fame. Of course, we think back to Madonna and others. But why is she different, or is she different from performers like Madonna and others?
Well, I don't think she's actually very different from other performers. I mean, she's taken a classic formula of appropriating certain aspects of a culture that isn't hers. She is selling sex. And also there's actually an underlying drug theme to some of her work as well. If you look at the video for It's Our Party, there she sniffs and she makes a couple of other
gestures
that suggest that drugs are involved. And so, you know, sex, drugs, appropriation, that's a pretty familiar formula for popularity in this country.
Now, let's talk about the sort of racial analysis, and you alluded to it just now. I mean, of course, many musicians over the years have appropriated African-American music trends and genres, but does Miley Cyrus go beyond appropriation?
Well, she does. I mean, I think the big issue with Miley Cyrus, aside from the fact that she's attempting to appropriate something, is that she does it so poorly. I mean, people talk about how she's twerking, but actually the move that she's doing, according to the New Orleans bounce performer Big Frida, she's actually doing a move called Exercise. And so, you know, for her to, for all of a sudden ABC News and a bunch of mainstream publications to have these explainers around twerking and twerking becoming synonymous with Miley Cyrus, when actually all she's doing is gyrating, is problematic. And aside from that, what she's doing is she's actually using black bodies, black female bodies to legitimize herself. And she uses bits and pieces of those bodies without showing the faces of these women, without giving them any sort of identity. And it harkens back to a minstrel show. I mean, it's really problematic in that she puts on the clothes, you know, figuratively, she puts on the clothes of women of color, but she doesn't ever deal with the experiences of women of color except for how they relate to her. And so, you know, she's taken sort of a mockery of this idea of twerking, and she's really sort of hypercharged it.
Now, in terms of the way in which she treated her black female colleagues on stage at the Video Music Awards, why was that something that, and you know, perhaps a lot of white audiences watching that may not have even noticed what was happening there, but can you tease out some of the racial dynamics going on stage over there?
Well, I think that people were able to recognize that something was wrong because it was so blatant. The fact that her dancers had on teddy bear costumes, You know, so she wasn't backed up. It isn't that sort of 80s performance where you have the white performer and then you have a gospel choir in the background giving that person some sort of depth or legitimacy. This is literally, you know, women, half-naked women in teddy bear outfits gyrating around so you can't even really see their faces. And then they turn around and it turns out to be a bunch of black dancers. And there's this one moment during that performance where she slaps the behind of a burlesque dancer named Amazon Ashley, but never shows her face. And so the blatant show of disrespect in terms of using black women's bodies is just so, it was so blatant that it was hard to miss, I think. I think what she's doing is she's creating, or she's using black women's bodies as products. I mean, that's basically what she's doing with her performance. And the big problem with that, obviously, is that it dehumanizes black women. Now, she would argue that, you know, people are reading too much into it. She did an interview with MTV afterwards where she said that people have thought about her performance more than she did. But I think that there's something really, really sort of sinister and insidious about what Miley Cyrus is doing, whether she's conscious of it or not, that says that black women's bodies are for her consumption, and that basically they're there to lend legitimacy to her when it's convenient for her.
And also it doesn't acknowledge the fact that racism becomes internalized. When you do internalize racism, you don't have to think about it.
Right, right. I mean, no, you don't. You definitely don't have to think about it. And, you know, she has this famous quote where she went to producers and said that she wanted music that sounded more black. And so this is how she's finding herself to become, you know, a mature, I suppose, and growing out of her Hannah Montana image. And the way she's planning to do that is to take certain tropes of black people or what she associates with black culture, including buttocks, including trap music, including gyrating. And these are supposed to be the things that signal that she is a, you know, an adult with a healthy sexuality. And there's something just so racist about even that idea, that she just takes these really stereotypical trappings and this is what she does to break out of her image as a child star.
Now let's talk about the other aspect too, of course, Miley Cyrus's work, and that has been commented on, I think, more broadly by the media, which is a sort of pornification of female pop stars that she is very much promoting as well. I forced myself to sit through her last video so that I could say that I watched it in participating in its critique. And I have to say, it was very disturbing to see a young woman leave nothing to the imagination, because she, you know, it just really looked as though her role models were likely to be some kind of the pornification of our culture. I mean, I don't even have the words to describe it. Well, Kiba, what do you think? I mean, have you seen what she's have you seen her latest video?
Yeah, I did see Wrecking Ball, and I thought, I mean, the thing about the video is it's just a very, very coarse, very obvious, very literal rendering of this idea that emotionally she's been in a relationship where she served as a wrecking ball. You know, you think about the parts where she's literally licking dumbbells. And
yeah.
I mean, that's sort of...
Or a sledgehammer, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so it's just like, you know, I want to be sexy, so I'm going to lick a sledgehammer. I mean, that is so... It's just so obvious, and I think that it's hard for her to outdo the sort of sexuality of other artists that she's competing with, so she has to go with the lowest common denominator. You know, naked on a wrecking ball is really pretty, it's really pretty coarse.
And also, she's not. It doesn't seem like she's doing anything terribly different from what a lot of female pop stars feel like they have to do. One interesting a female musician who seems to have taken a different take is Janelle Monáe, a wonderful African-American R&B singer who has very strongly, she has her own label, and she has actually taken a very strong stand very overtly saying that she refuses to dress the way in which people expect her to dress. It's considered so normal these days for young female pop stars to dress scantily in order to sell records, it seems.
Well, you know, I actually think I don't have a problem with female artists dressing scantily if they really have agency over their bodies and this is something that they want to do. I don't have a problem with it. I think the issue becomes this idea that you have to dress that way to become successful. And that makes you a viable artist if you don't wear any clothes. And I think that Miley Cyrus shows us that, you know, there's this idea out there that to become an adult performer, you have to wear fewer clothes. But you're right, that Janelle Monáe actually challenges that status quo by wearing what she calls her uniform, which is a commemoration of her folks back in Kansas City who were maids and who were sort of working class people who wore uniforms to work. And so she calls that her uniform. But she has a self-concept and idea of her art that is so far beyond a Miley Cyrus that it's almost sort of criminal to put them in the same category, in my opinion, because Miley Cyrus is really just, again, to me, the lowest common denominator. And then you have someone like Janelle Monáe who has her own kind of world. I mean, she's constructed a world with her work.
All right. Well, Akiba, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Where's the best place that listeners can get a hold of your writings?
On colorlines.com, I have a column called Gender Matters. So you can go to colorlines.com/gendermatters.
And that is colorlines.com/gendermatters. We will link to that on our website, as well as the piece that you put together critiquing Miley Cyrus. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Akiba Solomon is, again, the managing editor of Colorlines magazine.